Thank you, Westside, for the and Pastor Butts for the invitation to come be with you. My name is Robert Bottom, B-O-T-T-O-M. One of these days I'm going to grow up where I can be over this. I'm sort of feel a little short here. It's hard to fill this pulpit, literally, but praise God. My name is Bottom, B-O-T-T-O-M. Can't get any lower, but I'm going up. And we're representing the down and out, those that have nobody to cry for them and to care for their soul. And God is so faithful to use people like you, that you've given your offerings and given your faith promise and contributing, that you show you care. The Bible says, remember them which are in bonds is bound with them. Them which suffer adversity is being yourself also in the body. There's a lot of hurting people out there today, but I thank you that you care. You care for souls, and the church has stood behind us. Let me explain a little, just to get a little overview of who we are, what we are, and we're going to break into the Word today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm a missionary chaplain with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, been over, going on 21 years, but I'm a member of Tri-County Baptist Church since 1981, came and helped Pastor Schrader begin the work there early on. Help build some of the buildings, but God kept putting on my heart prisons. In 1997, he just showed me I need to be in prison. I look better behind bars anyway, so, but praise God that he opened the door, and we launched out by faith. And it's a faith ministry. It's out of Cleveland, Tennessee, and they primarily, they help train you to go behind bars to work with the inmate population. It's, you've got to have an understanding of what you're dealing with and be able to get clearance to go behind bars and work there. And first year I worked in raising support, but also going to prisons all over in different parts of the United States, as well as here in Texas, to prison revivals. But I found that the further they go down in the system, the harder they get, the more polarized, the more gang-oriented they get, and more separated from a tender heart. While they're in jail, when they're first locked up, they're separated, changes is coming. They're more open to the gospel. And I begin to pray, Lord, open the door that we could just get into jails. And God opened that door. And I thank God for Brother Ham and others that have been faithful to that, these jails, reaching these inmates. But God opened that door. We went in on probation because we believed in the old fundamentals of the faith, and they thought we was going to blow the place up. But we don't just, you know, we just preach the word and love people. God's going to take care of that. Pray for the jails. We're in Harris County Jail right now, working that Monday through Thursday, and Fort Bend every other Friday. There's over 9,000 in Harris County. They're also farming them out to Louisiana, some to Fort Bend County, some to Beaumont, because of overpopulation. Over 100,000 inmates go through that facility through Harris County system in 1 year. Just unbelievable amount of inmates going through. And there's 1,000 inmates in Fort Bend County, and a lot of politics going on there. But we just thank God for the open door and opportunity. With Rock of Ages, Ron Garris, before he passed on the Lord, he had a burden to get the Word of God into the hands of inmates. It's hard to get a good Bible, and there's so many isms and visms and versions and things that's going out there. And he got a good King James Bible, but he got some good notes and got it just for the inmates. Got it. Got the rights to print it and all with the notes. And it's a Rock of Ages study Bible. And they pray in money for these Bibles. And then I purchased for Rock of Ages for a minimum amount. And I have inmates memorize 25 verses to get a study Bible. This is the vinyl. We use that in Fort Bend. I got a paperback. I use so many to keep the price down in Harris County. They memorize 25 verses and to get the study Bible. Then I had Spanish brothers come to me and say, hey, Amano, how about a Biblia for me? And I said, well, you pray for money and Bibles and we'll do it. And they did. And a pastor gave me $1,000. We began to buy Spanish Bibles, a good cover, got concordance, not near as good as the Rock of Ages, but it takes up. Just pray for more funds and better Bibles for the Spanish. But we also, once they quote their 25 verses, get their study Bible, immediately we hook them up, get them connected with the correspondence course. We've got a 3-year course, beginning doctoral and good sound Baptist doctrine, and doctoral then also through the whole New Testament. Thousands of questions. Of course, we got it in Spanish and English. These people are constantly moving, but God opens a door that we can get them saturated, get them into the Word of God. It's so fun to see inmates. They're sad, they're lonely, they've failed and bored. And they're like, it's just sitting in there. And you give them, challenge them to get the 25 verses memorized, to get a study Bible. I've got a special layaway plan going before Christmas. If you give me 10 verses at a time, and I'll lay it aside, and when you get me the full 25, you'll have a Bible by Christmas. Amen. But it's trying to motivate them. It's fun to see some old little winky, scrawny little fella in there, and it's a lot of peer pressure, a lot of violence, but this little old dude in there, and he'll memorize. They think he's dumber than a box of rocks, but he memorizes 25 verses, and he gets that Bible. And guess what? He is the man now. And everybody, even the old gangbangers, are jealous. And they say, I can do that. And they said, well, give me one of those. And I leave, and they're all sitting on their bunk memorizing scripture. I say, get them, Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, who can tell what God might do? Man, God is able. So appreciate your prayers as we go behind bars every day. It is getting very dark in many of the units. It's very dark. Pray for the politics. I encourage you to vote. And these days, righteousness exalts the nation, sins of reproach to any people. It's politically very dark behind bars, and many times they do not take care of their business. Gangs are extorting innocent people, beating them up, 4 men beating up one guy. Like you say, man, you get in there and eat, you know, 3 squares a day, sleep all day, watch TV. If you was locked up with those monsters, you couldn't take it 5 minutes. I'd be screaming. And that TV going, pray for those behind bars. But praise God for the opportunity. We're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 today. I'm sharing this as sort of a testimony. Excuse me. Those that know me may have heard some of this, but it was in September the 29th, 1975, I was in a church in Kentucky. I'd come out of a denominational, and I'll mention this. God was leading me in separation, and I was in a church where a pastor was a graduate of Bob Jones University. And he stood by the stuff, and everybody made fun of him over there, saying, they don't worship Jesus. They worship the Bible, and they're just all them fundamentalists, and they made fun of him and all. But as I was there, God began to direct me. And I said, God, I'm so empty. What's going on? And he began to direct me to that church. And there's where I began to be faithful to helping reach souls and on visitation. And there's where God began to work on me. And there's where God called me to preach. I'll share with that later. But it's through that experience that God led me to preach the gospel. And the chapter he used in that time, and it's September 29th, 1975. I made it public October the 3rd. And I was thought today, just as a memorial of the goodness of God, God is faithful, that he used this in my life, that I pray it could help you to find a direction. We're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in your Bible. We'll read the whole context, and we'll have prayer, and then I'll break it out, and we'll get the whole context and understanding, but then I've got some basic things. We begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sounding of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desires shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street, or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge, and yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the master of assembly, which are given by one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end, and much study is weariness to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us pray. Father, open our hearts and minds to your word. Shut down the confusion of each heart. And may we hear from heaven and pray that you would draw souls to yourself and help us have the vision you would have for us today before your soon return. I pray you would raise up an army to stand in these last days to proclaim the salvation of the Lord. We love you. Thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. We see this passage of Scripture. I failed to mention in relation to our what we do actually in the jail. I go in each morning and have worship services. We get inmate requests, but we also have worship services. I'm preaching every day, have chapel services, sharing the gospel, and then working with men and discipling men and going back into cells and sharing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The verse that God caught me with in relation to Ecclesiastes is verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God began to work in my heart. I remember that as I came to Christ and I had a desire not just to have a functional life and a functional wife and a functional dog and a functional job and just function. There was more. There was something more. You see, you are an eternal soul, and I'm eternal soul, and you're not satisfied until you're fulfilling and communing with the eternal God and fulfilling the divine plan and purpose He's created you for. You see, you can dig ditches, but you can dig ditches for Jesus. You can plow corn, whatever it is, but we need to do it for the glory of God. There needs to be a time of remembrance. In context, Solomon, he had tried it all, done there, been there, and got the T-shirt, but it didn't all work out for him. He found it just empty and meaningless. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is sort of a theme. It says, then I looked on the works that my hand had wrought and on the labor that I'd labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. The book is written from the standpoint of the natural man. The natural man, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them. You can have a good mind and good body, but you can be without Christ and you're empty inside. You're not going to receive the kingdom of God. You cannot perceive. You see, the people I deal with, if they don't get a hold of God, there many are facing hopelessness, emptiness, and the only thing they're looking at is suicide. No hope. And yet we out here in the free world, as we call from the inside, the free world hope, you too may just be as empty and living a meaningless life without any hope. Here's Solomon. He says, you work to eat and eat to work, and then you get a little joy, and then you get old and die. We see in the end of this chapter, he's pointing back, and don't get all your doctrine from Ecclesiastes. You may get discouraged very much. But you need to understand, hey, it's written to learn. You don't have to live an empty life. He's been there, done that, had power, had money, had prestige, but found it did not satisfy. And he comes to chapter 12, remember God. And I draw you, it's so important. You know, the sister had a birthday, and she willingly disclosed that she is turning 65. And I salute you, because this year too, I am turning 65. And you know, that it just seems like a minute. Dr. Hodges is chuckling probably at 65. I said, I wish I could be 65. Yeah. But no, it's a life is a vapor. It appears a little time and poof, it passes away. If I have any regrets that I did not do more earlier, that I did not launch out more quickly to do the will of God. We see in the quickly, I'll look at the context. I want you to see it talks about getting old in the physical sense, and life is but a vapor. While the sun or light or the moon or stars be not darkened, the clouds return after the rain. Hey, young people, you're in the spring of life, but hey, there's winter is coming. Winter is coming. The sun comes up in the morning, it's bright and beautiful, but there's sundown. And God has it in our life. The days that keep the house shall tremble. The strong men shall bow themselves to grinders' teeth. Now you just wish for teeth, and now you're thankful for two teeth that they meet together. Praise God. And you can bite something. Yeah. And I remember my granddad Jim Bottom, he was in World War I, and he was driving for those car buffs. You might recognize this. He had a 1957 Buick. Three-holer. Woo-hoo. Had that green, had that bubbly stuff on the seat. Man, it was a ride. But he was driving that, and I remember his hands shaking. When the strong men shall tremble. You see, life has its way and of moving on. And the doors shall be shut in the street. The sound of the grinding is low, and they rise up the voice of the bird, and the daughter of music is brought low. Now he can't hear. Now sleep is shallow. Now when you finally got time to sleep, you're retired, you can't sleep. Oh, man. I want to sleep in, but I'm wide awake. What is going on? Like I like Patrick's song, a good night's sleep, a good night's sleep. I'd give my kingdom for a good night's sleep. Boy, that's what old people, that's what we have to deal with. Hey, enjoy your sleep while you can. Young people, don't stay up all night. You need to enjoy. Get some sleep. And music. The daughter of music is brought low. Enjoy your ears while you can. Hey, don't blow them out with all that garbage music. I just wanted to mention in relation to the jail, I pass out songbooks and we sing the old hymns in our chapel services and not the old rock. Some take boom boxes and all that. And all they're already weaned on the devil's music. Man, they need to be here to be addicted to Jesus music, and it's fun to work with them. They've never sung hymns, but you get them. They've never used their voice. I get them to singing. If I can't get them, I'll get them to say the bass line, and they get to growling and they the bass line, and they get laughing and having fun, and they will join in. And many men, I've been in there a long time, and it may be 5-6 years later. They will see me in the hall and say, oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but, we sing that over and pass me not other songs because they can't, some that learn the songs, now they're carrying it and the new men are learning the song. They may forget me, but may they not forget the blood of Jesus. And the old songs can preach louder than I can. We must remember, don't forget the fact that, hey, good music is a powerful thing. I salute this church and I salute the cantatas and the commitment and the practice that you've gone through to accomplish for the glory of God. Remember him now, young people. Continue practicing. Don't give up because it'll be greatly used. And I'm just chasing a rabbit. I'm getting back to it. Or silver cord be loose. It comes to the place in context where we see, indeed, with cardiovascular problems, strokes, and heart attacks. Then the dust returned to the earth as it was. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. How life is such empty without God. And here Solomon was a preacher and how indeed God, he taught the people knowledge, sought out to find acceptable words. I encourage you, to encourage those that are preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the Word was wise. It goes on. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, don't get confused. This is the Old Testament. Solomon knew just as well as David knew. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He's not saying you work your way to heaven, your good work out your bad. No, they look into the blood of the sacrifice, look into Messiah, and then he's speaking as a saved man under the blood, looking that then we are going to give an account for what we do in our body. Remember him now. I get to number one. There's four things quickly I would like to share. But we see in the context, we need to remember him now. Don't say mañana, 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 tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Oh, I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. I'm going to pray tomorrow. I'm going to tell my loved ones I love them tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the salvation. Don't procrastinate. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I say I'm not young anymore, but you're younger than you will be tomorrow. Remember him now while the evil days come not, the nears draw nigh, thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I pray that you're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. We must have an eternal home. If you contracted a terminal disease, do you have any hope? Do you have any eternal hope? Or is this all you have down here? Have you laid up treasure? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And then, what are you doing on earth? For heaven's sake. How are we laying up treasure? Number one, remember him in salvation. I usually do expository more in the jail because they don't know the Bible at all. But I just want to challenge you today. There needs to be a time and place when you have come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How many men say, well, I grew up, I went to church, I've been baptized to do this and do that. But has there been a time and place when you come to true repentance? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Just like a physical birth, there's a time, there's a place. There's a time and place when we were convicted of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And there, God brought us to a repentance, a change of mind, a change of heart, a turning, and a looking to Jesus. The finished work on the cross to pay for our sin. Oh, it's such a simple thing, but many have not heard. They're going about to seek their own righteousness, have neglected the righteousness of God. May of 1970, I was in an old church house back in Western Kentucky, and there we had gone through, we had a lot of preachers coming out of the liberal seminary back in those days to a little country church, and somehow the spirits of darkness was holding me, and it was saying, I'm not going to get saved under him. It just something didn't ring true about what he was saying. They were a lot of liberalism and things at those days. But God began to work, and he began to convict me of sin. And I realized if I died, I'd go to hell. I became afraid of dying and going to hell. I did not want to go swimming, lest I die and go to hell. I was getting older. I didn't want to drive a car for fear I'd die and go to hell. But I kept hearing the word of God, kept going. And yet fear gripped me. They would give the invitation. I would hold on the pew. I was afraid. You see, things can hold you. It may be a bitterness. It may be a fear. It may be anger. It may be lust. Things will hold you. But you know, the devil is a liar. God in his mercy sent a preacher from another area, an old country preacher, Mayfield Bible College, that understood the Word of God and just simple faith in the Word of God and preached it. And he drove 2 hours each, just one way, just to come preach this little country church. Just a handful of men. But God was faithful to use that word. Brother Powell, he drove that old car till the wheels about fell off. He drove tires that was R.J. Baldy's. They were slick, but he kept faithful to the Word of God. Little as much as God is in it. You see, remember, and as he was faithful preaching the Word of God, the Spirit of God works with the Word of God, brings conviction of sin. And God convicted me that morning, May of 1970. I was lost, and he was saying, come, come, I love you, I died for you. You see, as the Word goes out, the Spirit of God knocks on your heart. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God's calling. He is a spirit. They that worship him, worship in spirit and truth. You have a mind and a body, but you have a spirit. You're picking up from the other side. You don't have, you're picking, people are looking for the third eye, but you've got a spirit eye. If you receive Jesus, you can begin to perceive and receive the things of heaven. And men, you're not limited, ladies, you're not limited to this earthly realm. You can begin to get exalted in the heavenly realm of a fellowship, a relationship with the eternal God. As he began to speak, all the enemy began to speak. Be not deceived. All that enemy is constantly seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? He cannot read your mind, but he can sure put thoughts in your mind. Oh, boy, he can do that. I remember one Sunday morning I was sitting in church. Soon as I came, old church house, stained glass windows, no air conditioning, the wind blowing through there. Back door was open. We walked in and sit down, and I looked out the window. The thought came to my mind as a little junior child, Sunday school student, jump out the window. Yeah, jump out the window. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod is trying to drive it far from me. Whoa, I found out. You know, I went through all that service. I faked it till I made it. But boy, after the service, I jumped right out that window. Whoa, once my dad got through with me, oh, he drove it far from me. No. You see, there's thoughts that have come to your mind. As a preacher was preaching, the thought coming to my mind, your friends will make fun of you. Your family will make fun of you. Wait till you get married, you and your wife. I had never even dated a woman before. You know, you and your wife can get married. And said, you'll have to preach. Devil knows something. He doesn't know everything. I was so shy and backward. I thought, I can't do that. But God brought to mind the scripture verses you're learning in Sunday school, in church school. Oh, hold on to it. It's powerful. He said, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. And I quote, and I said, shut up, Satan. I took that word of God by faith, and I said, no to sin and Satan. Yes to Jesus. And I took one step forward. It wasn't a great prayer. It was a submission to Christ, saying no to sin and saying yes to Jesus. And the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. He moved in, and God began to work in my life. I came to peace. They didn't work with me. They didn't teach me. You read your Bible, pray. I was just so weak and anemic, yet I came to an assurance. Remember him in salvation. I was at age 16. Oh, I could have been saved at age 6. I could have been saved earlier, or at age 10. I remember that's when the Lord was working with me. You remember him now in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh. Young people, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. What is going on in our society? The move of the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is sweeping so hard. I would say 2/3 of the young people here will be swept away in the damnable heresy that's coming upon this world if you do not get founded in the Word of God. Hold steady. It is wicked. It's ungodly, the wickedness and evilness that's coming through the system. It's slick. And even the Bible says, even God's elect almost will be deceived. You must hold firm to the salvation. Finding Christ, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary the devil, seeking whom he may devour. Remember him now. Because if you get up to 6th grade and other, boy, the enemy can get you going in all kinds of directions. And all it takes sometimes is one open door can bring total life devastation and give ground to the enemy. A stronghold, and you might find yourself. I've spoken to men that have been surrounded with Westside Baptist Church and North Houston Baptist Church and other that has been incarcerated, went to schools, good schools, but they're locked up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatso a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can they be saved? Yes. Can they find blessing in God? Yes. But I challenge you, remember him now. Don't be deceived. Don't play with sin. Keep yourself pure. Keep your heart pure. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of the filth of this world. Shut that YouTube off with that filth. Hey, obey your parents. Study the Word of God. Be careful. Oh, but God also, he worked in my life. As I did not have anyone to teach me. But I was hungry. But I was carrying a lot of bitterness and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. I didn't know. And God opened a door. And I won a grand champion beef calf in the Western Kentucky district, and I got a scholarship to go to a community college. And I wasn't that smart, but I just wanted off the farm. I was carrying a lot of hurt and bitterness from my childhood. As I got off there, I began to go to a community college. They had a Bible study over there. And they said, hey, won't you come? And I said, yeah, I'm a good Baptist. I'll go check that out. And I went over there, and I realized these people had something. They had something that I was desiring. They had a fellowship with God. They remember him in surrender. Surrender. I was thinking of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Many of you could quote that. It's very simple scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So you're studying that Sunday school. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You see, you can be saved, but you're not experiencing the power, that fellowship of God. Remember now thy Creator. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, he'll accept a prisoner. He'll accept a prisoner even if he's doing a life sentence. I've got a man that is a murderer. He out of Katy area and had committed a murder. He's 79 years old, 78 when he was locked up. And his life is just wasted. But yet he came to repentance and he's cut clean with Jesus. And now he's holding Bible studies. He was preaching this morning in his cell. And he's got others he's mentoring. And every time I go into his cell, hey, brother, he's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about others. Hey, I got another. Would you work with him? Would you work with him? You see, he's using, I saw him going up the stairs. His hips are giving way. He's now 81, going on 81. His life is about gone, but he's on fire for God. But oh, remember now that Creator in the days of thy youth. Where's the young people? God will use old people, but he wants to use some young people. Present your body. And God will use your spirit. But guess what? If your body can't get up and go, you can only do so much. And I appreciate it. It's prayer. Older folk, prayer is a powerful tool. But where's the young people that has the strength to endure the hardness? The brothers going to Papua New Guinea, I believe. My. You can't go down there half dead. You're going to have some immune system. You're going to have some stamina. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who's going to stand in these last days? Present your body. I just want to chase that rabbit, man. I need some bodies. You know, some living, strong body. Sacrifice. Holy. You know, if God's going to use you, you're going to have to be a clean vessel. You can be used for a spit tune. Good example for what not to do, but no. Accept them, which is reasonable service. Now, how do you get? Don't be conformed to the world. Shut all that garbage out. I remember a time that God began to, I cannot handle TV. Some people can. But I get addicted. I've got addicted personality. And what I want to watch, I want something else and something else and something else. And I'm sweating. My feet are sweating. My hands are sweating. I'm under conviction. I just, no. I shut it. And the Lord, Psalm 101, said, you know, don't let this stuff before your eyes. Get it out of your house. And we got it out of our house. You know, others cannot. You ask God to show you. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Remember him now in separation, in surrender. But then we come to separation. Surrender. And as I was going to that Bible study, and they was talking about being controlled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit-filled life, not in a way of speaking in tongues and jumping pews, but a surrender to Christ. March 1973, I stopped by a park, and I willfully chose to surrender to Christ, and I presented my body. Young people, some of you may have done that in a commitment. I'm willing to go to mission field. I'm willing to be used of God. That's very important because that makes you available. And then you can perceive and receive God's guiding hand. He's got a way. As I did that, it wasn't a quick, blast, but it began a slow burn. And as a result, I began to have a song in my heart. As I commuted, as Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. What starts happening? Speaking yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in heart. And here there's a joy, there's a peace that begins to come from this as you're controlled and empowered. And then in Acts 1:8, you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. You speak in tongues and you run the pews. No, you have a burden for souls, a desire to win others and go and tell others about Jesus. You have a compassion and a compelling urge to help others. Oh, God began to work that. We started to have Bible studies. And even the secretaries in the school, we had Bible study, got fired up for God. Man, seeing souls saved and excited. Oh, surrender. Has there been a time? You see, the only way I was able to find God's direction was be teachable, leadable for the hand of God. God knows. I love that song, boy. There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While traveling through this world of woe, His hand still leads me where I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand to guide me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Surrender. Surrender. But what else? We need to come to that place of separation. Oh, I was surrendered to God and I finished my degree. And I said, boy, I'm going to go fire up this convention. And I'll hurry with you. I want to go fire up this convention and all these groups. And so I went off to a liberal arts college, Christian college. But as I went there, I was ignorant of the word of God. I was still immature. And there they proceeded to put my fire out royally. I had a professor, a Baptist professor, say, you believe the Bible, kibber to kibber? You're a fool. You believe in sanctification? He started cussing. Man, what in the world? They were neo-orthodoxy and if it speaks to you, it's the word of God. If it doesn't, it's not the word of God. It's a bunch of confusion. I didn't know what in the world I was into, but I knew one thing. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and corrupt doctrine will destroy you. I saw young men coming in that school for evangelism went out in immorality and failure. Oh, God began to pull me out of that. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord or agreement hath Christ with the devil or Belial? Or what part, in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 6, hath a believer with the infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And are ye the temple of the living God? I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'd come to the place of salvation and surrender, but God was leading me. Remember him in separation. What communion hath light with darkness? Christ with Belial? All this evil will corrupt you. It will corrupt you. And as I was in, I had to come to the place of ecclesiastical separation. of church separation. You can't mix light and darkness, good and evil. I had professors that did not believe the Word of God. They were supporting missionaries that didn't even believe in the virgin birth and bodily resurrection. You see, there's people all over that have to make a decision. Oh, we're just love. We love. But you can't, if you ever try to love a polecat, a skunk, man, any way you get it, you're going to get stink on you. You just got to come away from them. Come away from them. It's going to get dirty. So in the same way, you can love them, but we must proclaim truth. And you can, except two agree, how can you walk together except you be agreed? And so we had to come out of that. But even we come to that place as I work in the jails, I encourage men, you've got to decide. You cannot be a member of this gang, swearing allegiance to all these things. You've got to come to the place of separation. Yeah, but they're going to put the lick on me. They're going to do that. Yeah, I know. Jesus took the lick for you. Are you willing to take a stand for him? Here we see it, and God is working there to take a stand. We're in an evil day. So much evil, as I saw work this week, and been many weeks, that God is working revival in the jail. And one man at a time, and we've got one man that is on fire for God, and he helps another man, and I work, and then I help that man, and that man goes find another man. Just last week before last, he said, "I got a man, and I'm working with him. Can you help him?" And as I brought him out, he was involved in Santa Morte, and his eyes was heavy. He was oppressed of the enemy. He said he was wanting to get saved. He was crying, wanting to get saved. But he couldn't because sin was holding him of that bitterness and all that evil idolatry. Oh, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He had to cry out, let go of that. Denounce that allegiance. He had swore to leave. The devil, what you give the devil, he's going to try to keep. You're going to have to take the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus, and break those things. Submit to God. Resist the devil. As he resisted, he renounced that, repented. Then he came to brokenness, and he got saved and found, and the lights came on in his life. And when I went back to the cell, the men all could see. And the next, and I went to get another man and said, boy, that guy is changed. And the next week he said, I got another guy. And another man that also had been involved in a lot of evil, he was ready as well. Who could tell? You see, separation. You've got to take a stand. You cannot be unequally yoked. You cannot be involved in all the filth of the world and have the blessing of God upon you. We need to come out. Yeah, but who's going to take care of me? Who's going to protect me? I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. As I launched out and went to college, I didn't have great funds to support me. It was God that provided. And God is not a debtor. He meets the needs. My God shall supply all the needs. And as he led me out of that organization and all that denomination to this independent Baptist church, and had a Bob Jones pastor, God took me up. And he began to work in my life. And he began to show me. And he began to direct my life. As you follow God, he will provide. And I was coming to my senior year, and everything was paid. I remember how I prayed for a summer job. I said, God, I need work, and I need provision. And God opened a door working for the oil company, driving a tractor and bush hog for employees' sons. I had a heavenly father that owned the cattle on the hills and the oil under it as well, and he provided me a job. My dad was just a poor farmer. But God met the needs. He will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. As you may have, as some have in these days, pray for those in many countries. This thing of standing for Christ, taking a stand as they're coming out of Islam, as they're coming out of communist countries, out of much persecution today. Pray for those who are being persecuted for the gospel's sake. They are leaning on the Lord Almighty, the all-powerful, to protect them, provide for them, and to give them grace. Pray for the persecuted church today. Remember those which are in bonds is bound with them. Oh, indeed, the thing of of surrender, but separation. As I came to separation, God began to work in my life a greater work. There came a preacher along, Brother Fred Vaught, Sand Mountain, Georgia. He was preaching revival there in September 29, 1975. And he said, he was finishing it, and he was always so funny. He couldn't even read when God called him to preach. His wife would read the text, he would preach. But later he learned to read. He went to Tennessee Temple Bible School, was a faithful evangelist. And I remember that night, he said, "I pray if the Lord's dealing with you, you won't get a wink of sleep all night. In Jesus' name, amen." He had always ripped his voice out. But I laughed, and I went back to my dorm. Senior year, graduating, degree in business, but I had no peace. And God began to work in my life, the thing of service. Boy, I began to worry about this and worry about that. And I realized that was not the Lord. I had repented of that worry. And then the Lord began to work in my heart and began to show me how he had brought me off the farm, how he had paid, how he had led me through school, and even provided jobs, and he had protected me. And now he said, I want you. I want you. I said, "Lord, man, if I've got to preach, I got to have more than that." Because my dad said, "Man, son, you're putting a lot of money in something mighty little, your brain." He'd been making fun of me all along. And I felt, I got to go to Bible school. Oh, Lord, help me, help me. I got to have a word. I can't just do this. He led me to Ecclesiastes 12. "Remember now thy creator, the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. Moreover, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words." And it brought me to the reality that, hey, I'm going to have to face God someday. What I do in my body, whether it's good or bad. And I didn't understand. A brother next door explained the scripture to me. And that night I was like I was on fire. I couldn't sleep till the sun rose up. And then God gave me some peace. But yet I wanted some counsel. And I'd go to that service and be crying and have a good time. But then the Lord shut the tears off. I said, "Lord, is something wrong?" He said, "I can make rocks preach. You want to do what I told you to do it. Otherwise, forget it." Whoa, God can tighten you up. I said, "Yes, Lord." And I went to that professor that did believe the Bible. He said, "If you can do anything else, do it." I couldn't. I knew I had to. I made it public. You see, the Bible calls us to service. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. All the fields are white in the harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He had sent forth laborers. The harvest truly is plenty. The labors are few." Service. God called to service. And indeed, you know, when God called me to service, I still had strongholds, a bitterness against my father. God said, "Go home and get it right." You see, when you yield to Christ and you're teachable, leadable, God can help clean out the garbage out of your life. And I went home and apologized. And indeed, it didn't change him that much at that time, but it changed me. And then God began to change him as a result. And later, my father became a deacon in the church and a faithful man to Christ. Oh, God is faithful to him. But remember him in salvation. Remember him in surrender. Remember him in separation. I encourage you, don't get mixed up with lost people, young ladies. Don't even think about it. Young men, don't even think about this thing. It can get you so sidetracked. If you're planning on being a missionary, you're planning on being used of God, you need to walk with God, stay focused with Him, because you have a mission. You're going to receive a reward. As I go, you know, so I was, God worked in my life. I finished school there. I went through some stuff. Indeed, God led me through some suffering there at school and health problems, and I couldn't even make my grades in seminary, but I went back to Bible school and graduated. But through my sorrow and things, God began to show me other suffering people in the jail there in Chattanooga, then up in the mountains. And God began to use these things to draw me, and then brought me to Texas. But time passes. Oh, remember him now. I wish I had another 20 years to go behind bars. The population is unbelievable. The need is so great. I have people crying every day. Do you have more Bibles? Could you preach to us? Can you witness to us? The problem is there's not enough to go around. There's people waiting for the gospel. You can't hardly sell it on the street, but people that are hurting, there may be nursing homes that y'all minister to. These people are waiting. They're doing a life sentence. They're not going home. Could you go to them? Those that are suffering in the hospitals, there's needs there as well. Oh, and then behind jail and prison bars, oh, we need ladies to go. There's ladies. The population is increasing so rapidly with the female population. Women are so being abused and hurt, and they need help. They need the counsel of the Word of God. There's healing in the Word of God. Oh, they need to be reached. And then the men and the boys, the juvenile population. I've got openings to that, Brother Ham and I also had openings. But where's the young men? You've got to be 21 years old, but to go and deal with these juveniles. What a need. What an opportunity to share the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And then all the proper population of prisons. It's growing and growing, but yet we must see the gospel is in your neighborhood as well. May we find God's peace and God's direction, purpose in your life. Would you yield yourself? Has there been a time you let Him in? If so, have you surrendered? Are you willing to let Him be the boss? If you surrender, maybe there's some areas of separation you need to deal with. And how are you willing to serve Him? Won't you give yourself to Jesus? Let's pray as we close today. Father, we thank You. I pray for a movement of Your Spirit in these days, that, Lord, You would raise up a new army to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That's us, older ones are passing on. We need new ones that will stand in the gap until Your soon return. I pray if there's one without Christ, Father, that You would draw them to true repentance and faith. Some are playing with sin. May You draw them to repentance. May they put it on the altar today. And some are looking to You and willing to serve. Just let them surrender that to You. I pray for a move in Your Spirit. Bless today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise.